It is 7:45 on another Saturday in CCU land, this one, the 10th of January. Good morning, Ted Farrell.
Good morning, Denny. How are you on this fine morning?
I am terrific. At least that's...
Hey.
We don't need another doctor's opinion. Let's just do that. And how are you?
That's all right. I'll go with that. If you say so, my man. If you say so.
All right. Well, what's going on? I'm looking at... I always like to think about the forecast when you and I talk on Saturdays. And, hey, it's January, and it's pretty nice weather.
Well, considering, yes. I mean, we'll take it. I mean, who would have known that it rained? What, for almost 2 days straight the other day?
Yes.
Somebody's messing with the state's thermometers. I don't know quite who it is, but it's, and you know, not to be a stoic Minnesotan, but you kind of get a little scared with that because that usually means a lot of ice. And I don't care how good of a driver you are, ice is not a good thing.
Oh, no, it's been kind of iffy in a lot of different areas. But in the meantime, here it is, the 10th of January. We're into a brand new year. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, today, believe it or not, technically it was yesterday. Do you know what yesterday was, Denny?
Well, I do have a recall that it was Friday.
Well, you're close. It's the second Friday of January. And know what that's called throughout certain circles?
No.
Quitter's Day.
Quitter's Day?
Quitter's Day. Yes, and it's according to a lot of fitness apps, workout places, even some nutritionists, things like that. The second Friday of January, everybody is giving up on their resolution.
Human nature, yeah.
Yes, and, you know, it's a funny little thing, but believe it or not, in our industry, you know, now we have this phenomenon called dry January. And, you know, in years, you know, for eons, everybody would always give up a little bit of alcohol on the first to say, hey, I got to cut back or I got to stop. And then you might step into Quitter's Day and say, enough of this nuisance. I'm back on the way or I'm, you know, off the wagon. I'm going to have some fun. And, but this phenomenon of dry January, it's a true thing where you see people literally last the entire month of not consuming any alcohol whatsoever, whether it is for a little bit of a proper reset, whether it is a little bit of a health issue, people just want to slow down, or just determination, people want to just stave off that entire month of January. And so, you know, in our industry, we shake it off. I mean, granted, we end up our fiscal year in January, so it's nice to be slow so you can count bottles and do all that type of stuff. But the interesting thing about that is the rise of a lot of non-alcoholic drinks. Non-alcoholic drinks have been around forever. You know, they've made certain beers and a few wines and things like that. But, you know, people didn't pay much attention to it. There wasn't much interest into it. And now you're seeing people not, let's say, maybe not take the pledge per se, but, you know, you see people cutting back with the younger kids as far as some of the, I don't know what generation it is, so I'll just say the younger kids. You know, there's XYZs and LLPs and all these other ones. Just the younger kids that are probably under 30, there's a term for these kids, and it's called a zebra. And the interesting thing about a zebra is they change their stripes, and so the person goes to a bar and maybe orders a Manhattan or an Old Fashioned or something, and then switches over, might order a non-alcoholic Old Fashioned or Manhattan, and then go back to a regular old-fashioned. And so they kind of pace themselves. They're doing it alternatively, the one-on-one. So kind of like a zebra stripes, you're on, you're off, you're on, you're off. So people are doing that. And so interesting thing is the rise of a lot of non-alcoholic everything, whether you're to non-alcoholic wine, non-alcoholic beer, this is a sight to be seen, Denny. There's non-alcoholic alcohol.
Now, wait a minute.
I stepped into this industry. I told you I was going to sell you a non-alcoholic vodka or a non-alcoholic rum. Huh. I think they would have locked me up and thrown away the key. But it's something that's going on. And so with that, you know, you can sit and talk about, well, wait a minute, how do they do that? And to what they, in most cases, is they obviously have to remove the alcohol from their particular product. Now, with wine, there's a couple different techniques that they use, and one is called the vacuum distillation. And so what you do with that is they actually get the, and I'll admit, I am not a student of this, Denny. I'm kind of for the other team as far as that is concerned. You know, if you're making wine, you might as well just make wine. But
yeah,
they put this into a large vat, and it's a vacuum vat in which they remove all the air. And the reason why they do that is because then alcohol will boil at a very, very low temperature. It's around 70 to 90 degrees. So they can warm that up. And then what happens is the alcohol turns into vapor, and then they can remove that vapor from that. And so now you have a non-alcoholic wine. There's another process in which they do the reverse osmosis, where they pour, they make the wine like our normal steps, but then they pour the wine through these very microscopic membranes, and the alcohol compounds are a little bit smaller than the flavonoids and all the other compounds in the wine. And so it sort of seeps out, and so they can separate it that way as far as, and then they even, with that liquid that comes out, what happens is they even kind of split that up because it's part water as well, and, you know, introduce the water back in there, so your water goes into the flavonoids, and all of a sudden now you have a non-alcoholic wine as well. And then there's actually kind of a centrifuge method where they have a, you know, a fancy machine, you pour it in there and then spin it enough where it separates it. That one's, I think, the most expensive one to do because it also is the most delicate on the wine as far as keeping the flavors, doing all that. So those are the kind of quick ways in which they remove alcohol from wine. Now, with beer, it's similar, but here's the issue. With some of the beers, what they do is they'll use different yeasts that are a little bit less potent, a little different strain, so not as much alcohol is produced. But then they'll also do real, very, very cold fermentation so that alcohol doesn't get created. Now, they do use those other methods that I called or talked about where they can make a vat of beer, put it in that vacuum, you know, do the same thing like we talked about as far as, you know, heating it up to a temperature, the alcohol will be removed off that vacuum. They even use the other method of reverse osmosis. It really depends upon the particular beer maker. Now, with alcohol, they use those same three steps as well, but oftentimes what you see is what they call the maceration process, which quite frankly is they'll get the different flavors. Like if you're making a non-alcoholic gin, and, you know, I hate to, you know, bemoan a category or kind of knock it down, but basically oftentimes it's a lot of water just infused with the different flavors of gin. So you have the juniper berries, maybe the citrus and all that type of stuff in which they macerate it. And I'm oversimplifying it. You know, some of those distillers out there making it will get mad at me for just oversimplifying it, but that's quite frankly what they do. Now, a few instances with those particular alcohol, they go through that same method of, you know, using the osmosis or using the vacuum distillation method as far as doing that. So, you know, there's different techniques that everybody uses. But the interesting thing about that is since the demand is really creeping up, you're actually seeing very, very decent products coming out on the market that people really like. A grand example is Guinness Zero. And it's the non-alcoholic beer made by the famous Guinness company that you see. And quite frankly, that is saving that company's bacon as far as the amount of sales that they've had across the board. And usually it isn't, again, with some of these non-alcoholic wines, it isn't the people who take a pledge as far as giving it up and, you know, going away. And there are some people who like that. It's often people who just still like the flavor. They want a, you know, a good beer. They want a good, you know, martini still, but, you know, enough is enough and they want to slow it down. So it's a real interesting phenomenon that's going on in the industry. There's some great little brands that you're seeing crop up all over the place. A new one, you know, for years we used to have the Sutter Home Frey non-alcoholic wines. I can't remember the process that they exactly used, but it was kind of a, not the greatest product, and people, you know, would just do it just to grab it to have the option. And now you're seeing particular wines, one in particular called Hand on Heart, like you took the pledge, and that one is doing a great job kind of keeping the great flavorations. They have an entire line of cab, chard, etc., but they're doing a great job in maintaining those flavors. On the alcohol side, you're seeing a new company that's come up called Seedlip, and they're doing some wonderful things with those non-alcoholic alcohols. Again, I can't believe I say that, Denny. I mean, I think my father's rolling in his grave that I'm selling yes. non-alcoholic alcohol, but you know, if there's demand, I'll sell it. I'm not afraid. You know, but even with the beers, like I said, you know, for years and years, there was just like O'Doul's and a few others, like a German one called Klausthaler. Now you're seeing a lot of those bigger companies invest into making non-alcoholic beer because it's becoming a significant portion of their portfolio as far as sales is concerned. You know, now Stella Artois has a non-alcoholic beer that I've heard is quite good. You know, again, I mentioned Guinness. Heineken has come out with a zero beer that people really love and are clamoring for. So it's a real unique time. And I mean, for me, it's a head scratcher just going, well, who would have thunk? But, you know, there's kids and people going out to the bar still. And I can't believe they'll order a $15 to $16 non-alcoholic cocktail. If you do taste it, you would think it is, you know, that. But I mean, people are wanting to do it. And that, you know, they tip the oath of dry January, which I don't know. I'll have to figure out and invent a messed up March or, you know, a stumbling September to kind of balance this out so people, you know, balance out the dry January type of thing.
But as you said earlier, you at Haskell's will be offering the latest waves of various things to give our listeners and your customers. I mean, no matter what the new fad might be. Interesting stuff. I know we have to run here, but maybe you can do this in about 30 seconds. I've never heard of a listener said they got from Haskell's many years ago a gift from someone. And it's, forgive me if I'm not pronouncing it, looks like Calvados. What is that?
Calvados is that, it's the alcohol from Brittany, and it's distilled apples.
Mm.
Calvados. And it's that northern area, and it's basically an apple liqueur, very similar to cognac, but a little bit smoother taste to it.
How about that? Learn something new. I'll tell you what, you can find whether you want to check out these latest things from Haskell's that Ted's talking about, whatever the case may be, you're going to get answers from all the good folks at any one of the Haskell's.
You are correct, Denny. Whether you're still trying to maintain a dry January or you just said it to hell with it, you form the quitter's day like yesterday, or you just want to stay a little bit dry, we have all the different things that could help you through the doldrums of January. All kinds of non-alcoholic, all kinds of other products to take care of your needs. And we have a Haskell's conveniently located for you. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with free parking on the weekends. We have Haskell's in Minnetonka right across from the Ridgedale Shopping Center. There's a Haskell's right in Highland Village on Ford Parkway. We have a Haskell's in Lomas Plaza in Bloomington. We have a Haskell's right in downtown Excelsior. There's also a Haskell's in White Bear Lake, Stillwater. If you're headed down south, there's a Faribault location right off of 35. If you're headed on up north, you can stop by the Plymouth location or our Maple Grove Supercellar, 20,000 square feet of all kinds of spirits and non-alcoholic spirits as well. And if you can't handy any of those up between now and then, stop by Haskell's.com 24/7. We can take care of you, and we'll even deliver it for you.
Fantastic. Do that very thing. Ted, thank you so much. Let's do this next week.
I look forward to it, Denny.
Thanks so much. Ted Farrell from Haskell's.